Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. We are running a little scarce this morning. But you know, the Word of God doesn't care if there's two, as long as there's two or more, He's in the midst. So we ought to be thankful to God that He blessed us and left us here. Because many who started the journey at the same time that we, some of us did, they're no longer with us. So God is certainly good to us. This morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O righteous God, O heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again to have our name called and to wake up this morning. We're so thankful that you allowed us to be here. You have blessed us and left us here that we have another opportunity to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the entire congregation this morning, Lord. We're just so thankful, and we pray for those who still may be on their way. We pray that if it be your will, that you would grant unto them safe passage, that they may arrive without any hurt, harm, or danger. We pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray and ask you to bless them and give them strength to carry on. We pray for all of the families of this congregation. We pray for the brothers of this congregation who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come from this point on. We ask you, kind Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, we saw your power on display all day yesterday and all night Friday night. You sent the water where the water was needed at. We were running in a drought, but you gave us water, Lord, and we're so thankful. It may be a pest to some of us, but nevertheless, your will must be done. We're so thankful. Father, we pray for the political leaders in our world that they may come together and not make any rules and regulations that would harm us from serving thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the military, those who stand on guard around the world. We just pray that they soon may all be able to go home in peace. We pray for those who are behind prison bars this morning, that if it be your will, that you would grant unto them their taste of freedom once again, O Lord, if it be your will. Father, we pray that while they are there, that they may learn something about you, O Lord, and that they may serve and do your will when they get out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all you do for us. And now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into the next portion of our services, we ask that you be with us and watch over and keep us. In the name of the one who went up Calvary's hill, mounted the cross, hung, bled, and died, we ask it all. Amen. From the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, our God is full of mercies, is what we're using for a subject. Verses 22 and verse number 23 we're going to use, so I'll reread it. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Thank God. God has many great attributes. The one we're going to discuss today is the one that we all seem to need the most. So let us look at it. It's called mercy. First of all, let us discuss what mercy is. It is the showing of goodness and kindness to those who are unworthy and undeserving. God has shown his mercies to us many times over. And yet some of us think that he is doing what he should do for us. God did not have to. He does not have to have compassion upon us each and every day. But because of his mercy, he has allowed us to live. Let us take a look at his mercies for a few moments. I don't plan on being very long this morning. So let us look at why is God merciful. Since he is all powerful, he has the right and the authority to do what he pleases. Therefore, he chooses to show us mercy. Notice what our text says in verse number 22. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of his compassion, because his compassions fail not. God offers us so many mercies upon, God offers so many mercies upon us, even though we are undeserving of some of them. He shines them upon us each and every day we live. And according to verse 23, they are new every morning to prove his faithfulness. Just in case someone wants to know why, I would answer them this way. There are things he does and we don't always know why he does what he does. One clue can be found in Romans chapter 9 and verse number 21. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make the one vessel weak unto honor and the other unto his dishonor? God can reveal his greatness to whomever he chooses to, and the matter should be settled once and for all. It is also because of his great love for us that he has mercies upon us. In other words, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, God is love. Also read in your spare time verses 9 and 10. It is also because he knows us and he understands what we are. Psalms 103 and verse number 13 explains it all too well. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In verse number 14, he remembers we are but dust. That's all we are. We are just simply dust. Isn't it wonderful to have God as our Father and that he has so much compassion and full of mercies toward us? God is good. I tell you that all the time, but you know that because you're here. His character is that of mercies. By character, I mean his nature is that of mercies. Psalm 103 and verse number 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. Who can be the recipients of his mercy? Well, verse number 18 in that same chapter answers that question. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Everlasting is a long time. Everlasting is a long time to receive God's mercies. From everlasting to everlasting. But one has to understand the meaning of that. It everlasting has no beginning and it has no end. His mercies are tender according to Luke 1 and 78. Our God knows us and therefore he knows what we need. Just as his mercies are from everlasting to everlasting, so is his compassion. He is also long-suffering. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, understanding this one thing, that God does not want any of us to perish, but some of us seem to be, we want to drive in that direction. But God is not seeking for any man to die. He wants us all to be saved. God has no pleasure in seeing that evil men should die unsaved. He wants all men to be saved through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is truth. God's mercy has no consequences, has consequences. Usually when we hear the word consequences, our minds start to think about bad things, but not this time. God's mercies are not bad, but instead they are good. We are saved by God because he loved us and gave us his Son. Titus 3 and 5 explains, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. No matter how good we may think we have been, we are only saved through God's mercy and his grace. So when you get home, study the next time you have your Bible study, just read the text, Ephesians 2, 8 and verse number 9. The Bible will give you the truth of the matter. Where then does his mercy come in at? It's his mercy we can confess. In his mercy we can confess and be forgiven of our sins. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of us might say, well, I'll have you to know, preacher, I'm not a sinner. Then I would tell you that all you don't have to be a current sinner to have sin, according to 1 John 1 and verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So I didn't call you a sinner. The word came, it came from the word of God and not this preacher. Salvation is by Christ Jesus and him crucified. His coming into the world and dying for our sins was an act of mercy toward us. So today we can thank God that God is not a putting all out God. He does not put us out of the church service. Those who fall out of step when one falls out of step toward him. He gives us the opportunity to return to him. Do you remember Peter cursed and denied Jesus? You remember that, but what happened? Well, in John chapter 21, he and Peter had a nice little talk. Jesus questioned Peter whether he loved him or not. After Jesus heard Peter say he loved him, he gave him an invitation to feed my sheep. So God is a forgiving God. He's not a grudge-holding God. I wish that all men were like that. Men sometimes hold grudges for year after year after year, and they keep on carrying these grudges with them all the time and forever. And you eventually might, 20 years later, you might come up on that same person, and that person may tell you, well, you know, I never did really like you. Why? Because something you did to me 20 years ago. And I often tell you, it may have been as simple as you stepped on his shoe or on his foot. So just remember what the text says in verse number 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Verse 22, because his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can you imagine that? Every morning you wake up and get up, God has a new mercy to give us, some new mercies to give us. And don't think that because you woke up that you might be able to also get up. Sometimes you can wake up, but you can't get up. Sometimes you can get up, but you don't feel like getting up. Sometimes getting up requires more than just a notion. And so we have to go to God in prayer and thank God for when he woke us up this morning. We have to thank him for letting us rest on last night. And I especially thank him this morning for letting us rest through and giving us shelter from the storm and the rain last night. God did not have to do that, but he did it anyway. He put a roof over our heads. And I know some of you may have gotten a little water in your basement overnight. and you had to dip out a little water this morning. But think of the alternative. If we continued without rain, the crops wouldn't grow right, the grass wouldn't grow green, and the animals wouldn't have any water to drink. So water has its points, its good points. Jesus, due to his great mercy and compassion, is able to forgive us for our shortcomings, our sins, if we but go to him and seek forgiveness. He will be there for us through the darkest hours of our lives. He will be there for us through life's storms, great or small. He will be there for us when all of man's hopes are gone, because he is our hope. He will be there for us even through though others may leave us. He will be there for us in the last moments of our lives. God will be there with us if we would just seek him. Remember what our text tells us. His mercies are new every morning. Can you imagine what condition man would be in if it were not for the mercies of God? Man would issue out, if man was in charge of mercy, he would issue out the same mercies day in and day out. And you may say, why? Well, because man's greatest greatness would run out, while God's is everlasting. Man would not treat everyone the same. Many of us would receive the same mercies day in and day out. Would man be fair if he was in charge of mercy? Highly unlikely. Where with God we are treated fairly. We are treated righteous if we are righteous. I tell you, I'm glad that God treats us with equality. It is because he has compassion upon us that he has mercies upon us. Let us look at the text again. Verse 23. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, when you got up this morning, I've already explained to you, you didn't have to get up, but when you got up this morning, think how good God's mercies are. He provided food in your refrigerator for you to eat breakfast. He provided clothes for you to get up and put on. He provided water for you to drink, but most importantly of all, he provided air, oxygen for you to breathe. You know, some of us take for granted the fact that we breathe each inhale and exhale every moment or so. But it's not true. You've got to thank God for every breath that you take. You've got to thank him for the inhaling and then the exhaling. And ask him to keep on allowing you to breathe in and out. Now I tell you, if God's mercies were not new every morning, we would be waking up to the same as yesterday. And the same as yesterday would not be new. But God is good to us, church. God is so very good to us. God is wonderful, as a matter of fact. As I told you, he'll be there through life's storms, great or small. And I don't know about you, but just in case you haven't been through a storm lately, doesn't mean that you're not going to have one. It doesn't mean that one is not coming your way. It just means that you're not in it right now. But you're either just finishing up with a storm, you're getting ready to enter into a storm, or one is coming your way. Storms come to all of us in life. Some of them are worse than others. Some of them can pile on you so heavily that you don't seem to be able to get free from it. But God, through his tender mercies, are able to relieve us of all of the storms of life that we face in this life. God is good. And I tell you something about a storm. You never know when a storm is going to come. A storm is an emergency, usually. And emergencies don't wire you that they're coming to aggravate you. They just arrive and they knock on your door and you open the door and storm is standing there looking at you in the face. Storms do not give you forewarning that they're coming, because God will get you through it, but you got to ask him to help you make it through the storm. But the storms come in our lives, and I'm so glad this morning that I've faced a few storms in my life, and I know that God is able to bring us out of the storm if he puts us in the storm. That's because of his mercies. God is able to keep us in check with our storms, whether they're great or small. And some of us don't realize that when trouble hits, that's a storm coming your way. When troubles come your way, just say, "Oh Lord, I'm in trouble now and I need you," and ask him to guide you through the storm. You don't have to hit a brick wall, run your head into a brick wall because you're going through something. All of us go through something at one time or another. You may not be in the same storm that I'm going through, but we all in the storms together, and we're going to have them at some point in time. Now somebody say, "Well, the last time I went through a storm, it was the worst time in my life." Well, you just hold on for a little while, because the worst one may be coming your way. And when these storms hit, sometimes it'll break up your life. You know, remember the storm that Paul was in, the boat that Paul was in, and they ran into a storm? Well, I'll tell you something. God knows about all the storms that we face in our lives. God knows the storm is coming before the storm gets to you. God knows that a storm is headed your way. But sometimes we create our own storms, and they're worse than what we think they are. They're worse than what we thought they would be, I should say. Sometimes a simple storm turns into a gigantic storm. But nevertheless, God is able to get us through it. God is able to help us make it through the storms of life. And storms, sometimes folk don't understand what it means when I say a storm. Well, a storm can be your wife or your husband or your children or your boss at work. Storms can bring you down. It can buckle you at the knees. A storm is a terrible thing to go through in your life, but because of God's mercy, he can get you through these storms that you're going through. God's mercy will help us to make it through any storm, any size, any kind, any way, anywhere. God is able to get us through because of his mercy, and his mercies are new each and every morning. I'll tell you just a little bit about storms. You don't have to have money to have a storm. You can have money and still have a storm. You don't have to be a large person to have a storm. You don't have to be a small person, but you'll get a storm in your life. And sometimes when that storm blows through you, it blows you over. But you have to ask God to protect and keep you through this storm and get you through it. I tell you about storms, church. The storms will arise in your life when you least expect them. Then you can be a small person like me, a short person, I should say, like me. Certainly not small. A short person like me, or you can be a tall person like Brother Davis out there, Brother Hall here. The storm still will get you. A storm will break you down, church. And sometimes you may not have been the church to call on the Lord in ages, but it'll make you call on him because you want to get out of the storm. When the storm hits, you want to get out of the storm. So you ask God to have mercy upon me, O Lord, and get me through this, because I can't handle it by myself. A storm will make you do things that you haven't done in a long time or that you've never done before. And sometimes it'll make you do things you shouldn't do as well. Sometimes some of us, the things that we say out of our mouths are not Christian-like. And when you get in a storm, the first thing some of us think is we say a few words of a few what we call bad words, if you will. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But I tell you something. The best thing that can come out of your mouth is, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me. Because I'm going through it now and I need you, Lord." God, our God, is full of mercies and He can grant us mercies. Our mercies can be granted by the true and the living God. And when I think about how good God is, you know, I look out in the audience and I see that there's not many people here today. But you know something? God is still good. God still has mercy upon us, because you know what? We could have been in this building this morning and it could have been all damaged from the storm, but it didn't. It wasn't damaged. It could have, thank you, Lord, is right. It could have been all wet inside of here, but it's not. It could have been cold in here, but when I got here, it was actually very warm in here. It could have been, we could have had windows blown out. That big window up there could have blew out, but it didn't. God has mercies upon us, church, and we need to consider God for a moment before you think anything else. Thank God. Now, when you think about God and all He's done for you, and I'm about finished. I said I was going to be short, and I'm trying to be that way, but sometimes shortness escapes me. But when I think about it, God could have deserted us. For some of us don't deserve Him. And I'm not talking about anybody in the church. So nobody say the preacher said, "I don't deserve mercies." I wasn't talking about you, but if that shoe fits you, wear it. Now what I'm talking about is generally speaking. I'm talking to all Christians this morning. And if that's what you are, then you wear that label proudly. And don't let anybody question your Christianity about God. If they ask you what kind of Christian, just tell them I'm a Christian. Because that's what we were first called, where at Antioch. So when you tell somebody I'm a Christian, and you tell them what church you go to, "I go to the Church of Christ." "Yeah, but what kind of church is that?" You just tell them it's the Lord's church. And the Lord has mercies upon us, and He gave us His Son in order to purchase this church, because He was merciful to us. And I'm praying that He's merciful to us in the end. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And I ask you this morning, do you know something about God this morning? Do you know something that you want to share in your heart this morning about God? You know, there's nothing wrong with when you come up front here. You don't always have to come up front to say that I got a problem. You can come up front and say I got an issue with God. And my issue with God is that He's good to me. Because He had mercy upon me. I was locked in to sin, and I was about ready to be taken away from here, but God looked down upon us and He sent His only begotten Son to us in order to save us from our own selves. Because God is full of mercies. So I ask you this morning, do you owe God a piece of your mind? If you do, give it to Him in front of the church and let the church praise God with you. So how do I come to God? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing and being baptized. Oh, and don't worry because the church is kind of short today. Don't let that bother you. We were going to be here if the good Lord allowed us to be, whether it was 20 or 200 here. And if 200 happened to be here, well, praise the Lord. But if 20, only 20 showed up, praise the Lord anyway. Praise God for all he's done for us. And be thankful. Because we could have been dead and gone. But God had mercies upon us. Gave us his mercies. So I told you how to become a member. But what if, preacher, what if I've done that long time ago, but I've walked astray? Will you come back to God, go back to him, ask him for forgiveness, come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may grow stronger and be in his graces once again? God will forgive. If he forgave Peter for denying and cursing at him, then won't he forgive you? What can you do that he won't forgive you for? God is good. And God is full of mercies all the time. Each and every morning he gives us a new one. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
31. You sing all three stanzas.